Marie's here in the studio and she's all ready to go. We've got everything sussed and planned out for our interview, haven't we, Marie?
Absolutely, Aaron.
Well, we've written down two words.
Yeah, okay.
So Marie's a local counsellor therapist, also does her own show, Faith Matters, on Fridays at midday.
I do.
But we're not talking about that, we're talking about this.
We are.
Although, actually, to tell the truth, you cover a lot of the same stuff, but through a different lens.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, actually, to take you from that lens to this lens.
It is.
But still talk
totally
about the same thing.
Lens.
Yeah.
Although they do intertwine.
Of course,
Aaron,
yeah, they're not, yeah, separate.
Yeah, but. So I think that's a good thing to probably clear up a little bit, because it is quite different when we come from different spaces and places in our life. So for me, you know, I've often talked about my faith, but my faith is not something I bring into counselling with people unless people ask me.
Specifically,
or want that. So, you know, in doing this show with you, I'll throw in there, I have a faith, and I let people know that, you know, if I was to speak from that place, my answer might be quite different. And how I might reply.
I think people might not realise, like, because you're a counsellor therapist, so, and people know you through these interviews, is that I don't think a lot of people, maybe they do know, maybe they don't know, that a lot of stuff that happens in the Christian world, there's similar things going on using the Bible as a basis for kind of self-improvement and like very, that kind of personal journey that we're all on.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing that in, Aaron, because I think that's been my foundation. I've gathered a lot of richness and wisdom for myself and my life through the Bible, through God's Word. That's just been an absolute fact for me, and I can't get away from that. So it's been my go-to. And just the other day, I've got two Bibles. I've got one that was ripped up by my dog when I first got it, but it was my very first Bible, and I love that Bible, Aaron.
You must do if you've still got it.
Yeah, I've written in it, and it's just amazing. These Bibles are no different, the two Bibles I have, but one's a study Bible. I got that one when I was a bit further down in my faith because I wanted to think I had some intellect.
Okay.
So I got that one.
You walked around holding that, people were like,
oh, yeah. I sort of felt like I was a bit more important. but, you know, I did learn a lot more through that, through study, and I've written a lot in that Bible. But those two Bibles are my staples. I'll open them up and find so much wisdom for my life, working through trauma more than I have in other areas. So, yeah, of course, it's a big one for me. But in my counselling, unless a person asks me, or they have a faith themselves, or they ask me, they see something in my room that might indicate something to them, like the Te Whare Tapawhā model that I use. I don't go there. So this part of our show, you know, what we do together, I try and stick with counselling as best as I can, you know, and in my Faith Matters show, you know, I can be a bit more free. I'm learning to be freer. It's not easy being a Christian in this world, Aaron. You know, there's a lot
The thing that's always on my mind when we're talking, like I like to do what we just did, and like that's some, like, there's a lot of headline grabbing stuff about Christian faith, especially coming from the southern US, and I like people to know that, even though I'm not a Christian, I like people to know that that there's more to it than that. But I also know that if we're talking about a complex issue and then we bring God into it, then suddenly it's got too complex.
Yeah, and people turn off because it's not their thing. And that's okay.
I'm aware of that. So often I don't want to combine the two because I'm just like, oh, where's this going to go? Sometimes we have, I know we've done the odd interview with you where it was just about your faith.
And it's been nice. It's been, well, it is nice to have a platform to try and be free in, I think, Aaron. You know, it is hard to be free in our faith. Often it's very contained. And there's a lot of opinions over it. So, yeah, Faith Matters means a lot to me in regards to trying to be free, trying to be honest and authentic in my own journey and how that's worked out for me.
And every counsellor will tell you being authentic is key to.
Yeah, I mean, it's a treasure for me to even have a platform to be authentic in my lifetime. You know, that's a real treasure. I didn't think I'd ever do that, Aaron. So there you go.
And that is part of the point of the radio station, is that it's a place for people to have a voice. And I don't editorialise, or I mean, all I say is don't break the broadcasting rules, which you guys are in no danger of
doing. And I can guarantee that's what he said, because I was very – I wanted to know the rules when I came here, because I knew I wanted to talk about my faith and having the freedom to do that, still be able to do that, I'm really thankful for. So today we were going to talk – we'll move away from that a little bit, because otherwise we're into faith matters, and my voice will change into all different sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Marie, you've changed.
I know. There we go. It's a weird thing that happens when you come on the radio.
Yeah, well, you do. I mean, I adopt a persona. It's still me.
Happens.
I've cut out a few bits of me that I don't want you to see, basically.
Yeah.
So it's all the good, some of the good bits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go.
Hopefully.
I don't even know. It just happens. I listen to myself and think, what is the, what?
Oh, really?
Just my voice level sometimes. I think it's because we carry, you know, when you're in that seat, Aaron, you carry a different responsibility when you're in your seat. You know what I mean? You've got to be thinking ahead, and you've got to be thinking about what you're doing, and you've got to be thinking about the show.
Other levels, right? Yeah,
So for you, it's very natural, but for me, it's still doing my head in, and I'm still finding my way. So
you sat in that seat for so long before you moved into
I'm quite comfortable here now. I love being interviewed. Is quite easy, I think, now that I've been on that seat.
Well, see, I find it hard to swap seats when someone interviews me. I keep having this feeling that it's all spinning out of control.
Oh, yes. I've seen Aaron do this. He does do that, actually. Yeah, it's hard for him to take his hands off the wheel.
Off the driving
wheel,
I'm
going to have to put you in this seat one day and watch him just...
Watch me squirm.
Watch his hair frizzle.
What's left of it.
So we were going to talk about circuit breakers today, and I did mention this a little bit on my Faith Matters the other Friday, I think it was, very briefly, around how to change stinking thinking, or when we get caught in the trap of overthinking and getting exhausted by the continual... train of thought that we have that's quite negative. So circuit breakers is something that I learnt off a woman who was doing her PhD up in Auckland, and she was looking for students who would sit and learn her new model. And her new model that she was trying to put forward wasn't actually circuit breakers. It was around schemas, and schemas are just different parts of ourself and how they come forward in different depending on the trauma or the difficult situation we're sitting under, what comes forward in us to deal with a situation. So for some of us, you know, we might find we become really bratty or really argumentative in a certain situation. It's because we've reverted back to a younger stage in our life, and we're responding from that place rather than our adult self.
A schema is like a sub personality or
something? Yeah, well, you know.
I've heard the word before, but I don't know if everybody has.
For me to go into it right now, it'd be very tricky, Aaron. It's a different way of working in counselling.
Should we just say it's an aspect of ourselves?
Yeah, let's just say that. It's not my preferred way of working as a counsellor, but I certainly see the benefits of noticing different parts of self. And really, she was bringing a new theory forward, around how to use these different parts and almost put them on a stage and use them like actors and have fun with them. So perhaps if you were acting in a, how would I say it, maybe in an aggravating way towards somebody, then maybe that could be, you could name that person as Mr. Prissy or something, or okay. You know, you'd give him a funny name, and he'd come on stage walking kind of weirdly, or however he was, and so you'd have fun with these different ways that you would react with this person, and the idea behind this is that laughter breaks a lot of things. Laughter will, in the moment, it'll increase our endorphins and Dr. Feelgood feelings and just
stuff,
shift the moment. So she was working with us in regards to helping us to move out of trauma, have fun with it, make a joke of it, basically, that sat well with the person, and therefore alleviating the pressure around the moment. And so there was a lot of intricacy around what she was doing, even though what she was doing seemed like kind of silly work. It was all new. But in what she was doing, she also brought in circuit breakers, which is to stop the circuit of our thinking. And, you know, often I've talked about to do anything, we have to be present with ourselves. We have to actually be tuned in. So you've got to want to do this work. You know, it's not just something that happens.
So you need to be a little bit sick of your brain going on like a runaway train talking yourself down into a bad state.
You do. You need to get sick of it. You need to get fed up with it. Yeah. And I got to that point. I got fed up with the down-putting language that I had towards myself.
Mm.
And it was so second nature for me to think like that towards myself that I didn't know I was thinking like that until I tuned in. Because I was used to hearing the put-downs in my mind. They were just natural, just be sitting there running around in the background and me agreeing with them, like just letting them have, like say, a runaway train, having free dominion in my brain, in my thinking, I should say. And so when we do that, we have no control anymore over, you know, what we're thinking. We'll just let it do whatever it wants to do, and we never challenge our thinking. So a circuit breaker, first off, you have to know what you're thinking. Actually tune in and have a good listen. It's going to be yucky. It's not going to be pleasant. I'd even encourage people to write it down, because it is important to know what you're saying to yourself, because we are our own worst critic, and we are very good at nailing ourselves and putting ourselves down far more than anyone else could,
Yes, yeah. I mean, we all do it. But, well, most people seem to do it, and I'm sure some people do it
unknowingly.
Also, non-stop in some ways.
Well, I was a non-stopper.
Like how much? Like, what was going on when you say in your 20s or something, or teens?
Oh my gosh, Aaron, there was nothing. There was no.
Were you thinking about how awful you were, or were you pointing the finger at other people?
No, I didn't think I was an awful person. I didn't think I was an awful person. I just did not have a good opinion of myself. You know what I mean? Like, I was dumb and stupid, and
so that's what you're talking to yourself about
all
the time.
Totally. Like, idiot.
Like, how much of the day was like that?
Constant. Anytime constant. I did anything wrong, anytime, even if I got looked at sideways down the road, you know, down the street or something, if I was walking into the bank on, you know, perhaps benefit day or something, and somebody looked at me sideways. I mean, I just cringe, you know. Mm. You straight away think, I'm a lowlife, you know.
And this explains hoodies.
I don't even think we had hoodies back then as such, like ever thought about hiding behind a hoodie.
But that explains hoodie wearing. I've heard someone else say that.
Wear glasses.
Because a lot of people who are doing well in life think the hoodies is a kind of an aggressive thing to wear, but the people are actually wanting to kind of hide behind
it. And not be involved with those around us, you know, because life can be overwhelming.
And you're putting thoughts into their heads as well, assuming that they're looking down on you.
Absolutely. It's a constant, isn't it? You just feel it and sense it all the time. But, I think I might have tried to be nice to myself and my thinking, but honestly, it takes, like, I don't even know anymore how many positive words it takes to knock out a negative. Like, the negative word will stick like glue rather than the positive one. So, you know, anyone could have been saying to me, Marie, you did a great job in that, but my thinking would be, whatever, you don't mean that.
I know, and we've all had that experience of saying something like that to a kid to try to build them up, and you can see it's just bouncing off.
Yeah, it's bouncing off, eh? Yeah, like, it's not actually going in. And even noticing that is a good thing, and for the other person who's trying to be encouraging, realising this person isn't actually receiving this, and maybe being curious as to why, or whatever way may I be able to reach in to encourage this person. So I think for me, I just got tired in the end, Aaron. I don't think anyone, I don't think there was a light bulb moment. Mm. I think I just got tired. I just questioned. I think one day I just tuned in. I think that's what happened. You know, I heard what was happening in my head and I thought, heck, that's a bit rough. You know, there was probably some really gnarly stuff going on in there. And I think by then I had started to mix with other people and I was trying to have a better opinion over my life and not see it such like it was just a terrible thing. And
you could see other people, they weren't doing that. Or you probably weren't reflective enough at that point.
I think for Kiwis, we are terrible at encouraging. We're not encouragers. And if you know anything about love languages, there's a book called Love Languages, which gives us quite a nice insight into different ways people might function. One of them for me is encouragement. That's my love language. I'm a great encourager. It's very natural for me, but I also need encouragement. And for anyone to say that in life, oh, I need encouragement, is quite a hard, or I think it's quite a hard thing to say, because it's like, well, I want you to see what I'm doing and notice it, you know. And that's not an easy thing for a person who's come out of a place of not being seen, because I don't really want to be seen, but, you know, everyone needs to be encouraged. Everyone needs to be noticed and seen. So it's a really difficult place to move over from not being seen to being seen and not have your mind tell you that this is, you know, you're just an idiot and this is going to not go well at all. And actually it's a lot worse than that, Aaron. There's so many bleep words in there. It's full of it. You know, it's just full of not good, healthy things. And so, like anything, if we were to take all that thinking out and place it externally and have a look at it, we'd probably feel quite unwell.
Another thing I want to bring into that too is, because you're talking about the language directed at yourself, but we can also get into that kind of runaway train mindset where we're pointing the finger at others and just go over and over again and look at how many ways that person's done me wrong. You know, and
that's
and,
a goodie, that
and maybe
one.
They have and maybe they haven't. They usually haven't done it as badly as it feels like in that moment.
As you've pulled out.
Yeah, and generally that's not a healthy place to exist.
No,
negative mindset.
Good.
So it's just the direction that the finger's pointing really is about the only difference there, I think. But it's still a negative mindset. And maybe... Yeah. I mean, maybe for you, actually, it would have been, instead of pointing the finger at yourself, it might have felt better actually point the finger at someone else.
I could never have done that. Yeah. It just wasn't.
But that almost would have been a step.
I couldn't have done that. Better. Yeah, it's just an absolute no to me. But looking back then to where I would ever have looked at anyone else, and I know that's because of what I went through and some things that were spoken into me that made it an absolute I can't say anything.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's something I've had to work on quite a lot. But this pointing towards other people, sometimes I think, Aaron, it is healthy for us to sit with ourselves and be miserable. You know, it's okay to be down. It is okay to feel grumpy. It is okay to feel annoyed. But it's not okay to stay there and
the
camp
thing.
There.
Yeah. Build a house.
Right? Yeah, you can't build a house here. You can't put a tent up and stay. You must move on. And why I say it's healthy, because it's healthy to let things go. It's okay to feel hurt about something. It's okay to feel upset. Somebody might have actually done you wrong, and it's not fair. But we have to move through it and come out the other side stronger from it and not weaker and taken out from it. And that's going to have a lot to do with how we talk to ourselves and how we view the whole situation. For me, I can now, as I've gotten healthier, I have looked at other people and thought, well, actually, that's your fault, not my fault. You know, that's your problem, not my problem.
Yeah, well, that's a boundary thing, isn't it?
Like, it is, and I've learnt to do that, but I've also learnt to put it in its place and then step back into myself and go, well, I know who I am. And I'll keep going forward from here. But that's tenacity and a strength that's come a lot from the circuit breakers. So let's go back there a little bit, because a circuit breaker is about actually stopping the thinking. Do you want to have a break before we go on?
No, because this is the key bit. Really.
That is the key bit.
Yeah.
So a circuit breaker, you have to land on a word that resonates with you. Okay, and so for me, the word is actually, right? Which just sounds so simple and so easy. I say actually, and then I'll go on and say that's not the truth, and then I'll tell myself, and the truth is, right? And it is a process, like a sentence that I go through, and I keep to that language. I keep to the same words. Actually, that's not the truth. The truth is, and then I will tell myself the truth. So the word actually, so what happens if I'm overthinking and I'm getting to that place of like, I'm getting tired of this, I don't know how to stop it, and it's really bringing me down. I have to get hard with myself, you know. I have to do something, otherwise I'll just carry on because I've lived in my head most of my life. So, you know.
Yeah, you can't actually leave it.
No, well, I mean, I've relied on it to get me through, you know, really tough situations. Relied on myself. So, from going up to Auckland, sitting with this woman and all the work that she did, I came back with the circuit breakers that I felt worked well. So I use the term actually, and as soon as I say that to myself, as soon as my mind goes to that word, I already know I'm going to change my direction here. It's already set in me because I've been doing it for so long, Aaron.
Yeah, so you've built a pathway in your brain.
And that's what it's doing. It's in Dr. Caroline Leaf, you can rebuild, you can rebuild your, forgotten the name of the book, sorry, but her okay. name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. her book is amazing in regards to re-looping that train of thought. There she is.
How to build your brain to improve.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's
how to build mental toughness. Nope. Oh, never mind. Anyway,
but
she
exists. There. If you look her up, you will find her book. It's an old one. It's probably one of her first or second books that she. There we go. How switch on your brain. I've got that book. There's still one before that one, even.
Okay, yeah, there's she's got a lot of books.
She does. She's very good. Her accent annoys me. I find it very difficult to listen to, but
is she
man,
from the
is
US?
She's Canadian, I think, or something. No, okay. Hang on, South African. I think she's got a South African.
Okay. So oh, and it doesn't matter. Quite, I think we're going to end up like.
Yeah, it sounds like.
On the wrong track.
We are.
Yeah.
But for me. Her language is quite difficult to listen to, but man, is she knowledgeable and so, so good.
Well, she's got books, so that solves that problem.
She's great.
Yeah.
Helped me a lot in regards to our understanding how our thinking works and how to change it. And that the fact that you can, you don't have to stay in the same mindset that you've always had, you can rebuild. And move to a different place.
And I jumped on that point that I made before about you've built a new pathway in your brain, because if we've been doing a lot of stinking thinking or just negative thinking, then that's a pathway in our brain, and it's going to take some practice, isn't it? Like it's not an overnight thing.
So I can give you a quick. Well, I'll try and give you a quick metaphor on how this works. So our thinking, just think of it as a wheat field. A beautiful wheat field that's all the wheat's all growing and it's blowing in the wind and it's just a beautiful field. And then you go and walk through it, right? When you walk through that wheat field, it will create a path, not a big path, a little path. So if you were to go past that wheat field again, you may not see where you went in the first time. Let's just say you left a marker there, right? And you come back the next day and you walk that path again. Right down that wheat field, if you were looking at it from the outside, you may not see it's been a path you've walked down. You may see the wheat has, you know, something's moved the wheat and it's made a bit of a shadow through there, but not a big one. You come across it again, you walk it again. Now we're starting to see a pathway. Now we're starting to see that there's an actual pathway through that wheat field. The more you travel that pathway, the more you're going to see that path when you go down there. that's like our thinking. If you think about how the brain and the beautiful little wheat field in there, when we have a thought and we act on that and we start doing it, we create a pathway in that wheat field that is seen and known. So after a while, we don't have to think about it anymore. We'll just go down that pathway because we know it's there, and we continue to go down that pathway because it's natural for us.
Can I extend the metaphor?
Yep.
So I'm going to say, because we talked about having like the pathways that we don't want, so there's another pathway already through the wheat field that is easy to walk down, but that's the one we don't want anymore.
So I was getting to that one, Aaron.
I've stolen your... Sorry.
Yes, I was getting there. So now so we've created a pattern. We've created the pattern, right? Now you want to create a new one. Now, it ain't going to be easy when you are automatic. So your automatic response will be go down to that pathway that you've always gone.
The easy one.
Yep. So now you have to create a new, you have to be present and actually want to create a new one because you already know this one and it's natural. So when you find yourself naturally going down the road you've always gone, now's the time to put in a circuit breaker. Actually, that's not the way, that's not how I want to respond.
Yeah.
Right? This is how I want to respond. Or actually, that's not the truth. The truth is, how do you, you know, what is the process that my, like I said, my word is the word actually. You could, it could be, I don't think so. It could be anything, whatever you.
Could be stop.
Yeah, stop, you know. And if that stops you, because you'll know in your own self whether you feel that shift. I know as soon as I say actually, I'm going to do this differently. And so what happens now is say, okay, so I go and do a different, I go and respond differently, right? So I've walked down the wheat field a different way, and I'll come across it the next day. I can see the clear path. I'm going to want to go that way, but I'm going to keep going this way. I'm going to actually make the choice. I know it's there, but I'm going to do it this way. And so the more I do that, what happens now is that I start to see the new pathway, but the old one's still there. And I know it's there and I can go there any time. Because I've got to go past there to get to this one. So I can just zap in there any time I want to because it's not overgrown yet.
Yeah.
Over time, the more you use this pathway that you've chosen to make the difference, the other pathway will never, ever go away. It will just grow over. All right, so the wheat will grow over it and it will start to look like you can't really see that pathway anymore. And so over time, it becomes less and less. But the problem being, well, it's not really a problem only if you make it a problem. If you choose to go back down the old pathway, it hasn't gone away. So as soon as you start to do the old patterns, you only have to do them once or twice and that pathway will open right back up again and you will walk back down it as familiarly, whatever that word is, as you ever did. And you have to, again, pull back. So the thing with creating circuit breakers to create a new pathway is having the knowledge that the old one never disappears. It is still there. but you've chosen to take a new one. And this one will become stronger. The more you use it, the more you travel it, this one will become the more preferred way of responding. And you feel good about it. And it's not as though you've forgotten the old way. You haven't. It's still there, but this one is the stronger one. So circuit breakers, or, you know, what will break that circuit? Mine is the word actually. The circuit being, you know, if you imagined a cord running from a heater to the PowerPoint and it's turned on, you know, and you've got a circuit running. If you go and cut that circuit, which I suggest you never ever do because you will kill yourself.
Not in real life. Yeah, this is a metaphor,
it's
folks.
It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
Metaphors are fantastic. Please don't do it in real life. Go and cut that circuit. That is what we're trying to do in the brain. We're trying to cut the circuit that is connected to that power source, which
and
is
it,
the
and
brain.
It is a literal circuit in the
and
brain,
it is.
Too. Yeah.
An incredible computer that we hold, and we really are in charge of it, but we're only in charge of it as much as we want to be, if we choose to be. Otherwise, it will take off on us, and lots of junk email is going to come in. You know, a lot of junk is going to come in.
Sounds bad.
Spam, that's it. I'm looking for spam. Yeah. A lot of spam is going to be hitting that computer of ours, so we have to put something in there to protect ourselves. just like any computer, you need to put something, a protection in there, because so much is getting filtered through it all the time. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if there's other ways too, like maybe not just to say a word or a sentence, but also like physically doing something might help people.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter what the circuit breaker is, Aaron, as long as you've got one.
Yeah.
You know, if you're aware of it. Some people might condition themselves to get down and do 10 push-ups. You know, how amazing would that be?
Yeah.
That will certainly shift something, you know. No, that probably make you laugh as well, which would be great. Anything that'll, if you can add something in, like even with my circuit breakers, when I do something, I can have a laugh at myself. I can look back and go, oh my gosh, what a waste of time that was. You know, I've just rented my head out to somebody that didn't need it. Like, you know, I'm not getting any money for this. You know, you can really make a joke of what you're doing and it will ease things for you. Anything that makes us feel lighter and don't take things too seriously, you know, have a bit of fun with yourself. It's okay to have a laugh with yourself, not at yourself, but with yourself. You know, like, yeah, okay, that was a bit stupid and that was a bit overboard, but okay, you know, no harm done. It's all good.
Yeah.
And move on.
Yeah, we don't have to keep condemning ourselves about it.
No, because
we made a mistake that one time.
I think sometimes we have to give ourselves permission to move on, as ridiculous as that sounds. You know, when I first became a parent and I realised I was mothering, I can't say the word, Aaron.
Mothering?
Yep. Like my mother did.
Oh.
And I did not want to do that. I had to make a conscious, I had to give myself permission to not be my mother.
That's why you couldn't say the word.
Yeah, I can't.
Because
you
didn't want to.
I didn't.
you were visualising what you didn't want to be.
And I honestly, and that came through counselling. We need to give ourselves permission to not do something because for all our lives we've had to do it a certain way. And so, and the child in us finds it really difficult to be an adult or to grow up. So, you know, we have to challenge sometimes and go, you know, I give myself permission to not be my mother. When I did that, it was fantastic. It was so freeing. I could be me. And who am I if I'm not my mum? And that's pretty exciting because I kind of liked who I was, which was quite opposite.
I remember I was younger and I was like, I didn't need to give myself permission to not be my father. I was like, I don't want to be like my father. Mm. But then someone far wiser than me said, so, all right, so what are you going to be like? Because if all you're talking about is what you don't want to be, then you haven't got a... There's no vision for what...
I mean, we have nothing to land on.
You're just going to end up back where you were.
And it's very growly too. Aaron, if you think about it, I don't want to be like my mum. I don't want to be like my dad. You know, it's a very child behaviour. So giving ourselves permission is like an adult saying, it's okay. You can actually decide something different.
Yeah.
And give yourself permission to do that because the child needs permission to make an adult decision. So, yeah, that's we could go into lots of things around our child and how we respond. But that is very much a childlike behaviour, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Do you find also something I want to talk about with this concept of circuit breakers is, I mean, that's what we do when we're in the middle of a runaway train and we're trying to learn to back out of that. But also there must be a way of, like, the earlier you get to it, the better,
yeah.
I imagine, and avoiding it altogether. And I know there's some, like you say, sometimes you need to give yourself permission to actually be sad and unhappy, and other times you can just avoid going there and it doesn't happen at all. But what I don't know is is it a time to be sad and express it and let it go, or is it a time just to avoid it because you're just going to create something that you didn't need?
Okay, so my encouragement there would be to change the language of avoidance, you know, to avoid something, because it's like when I said before, you know, giving yourself permission to not be something. When we use the word, you know, the language that we use, the mind already knows what that means, right? So you are avoiding. That is actually what you're doing. It's not a healthy thing to avoid something. But we can put something to the side and pick it up later. right? So when we use words like avoid, that's exactly what you're doing. So I wouldn't consider that a healthy thing.
Should I hold on, let's come up with a different metaphor.
Yes, a different word.
Well, I'm going to use the word avoid, but I'm going to say we're driving on the road and we're avoiding a pothole. You could just drive straight through it and be tough, or you could just go around it and it just was never a problem.
Yeah,
that's because sometimes I think that's what this runaway train is. Like, we don't need to be there doing that.
Yep, but you're talking about a pothole compared to a situation that is upsetting you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, what is the one that you can avoid because you don't need to go there, and what is the one that you actually do need to process?
Well, even in avoiding the pothole, Aaron, you have to make a decision there, okay? Because if you are coming up to a pothole in your car and you want to avoid it, you have to swerve. So hopefully there's nobody on the corner of you, or nobody's, you know, you've got to think outside of what you're doing. You can't just do it. Yeah. So even that's a process. Everything is a process. We're just so quick at doing it. We're not realizing the process. And it's the same when we're dealing with anything in our thinking. It's a process to put something in place to change something. It's a process. But the more you do the process, the less you become aware of it. And it just becomes second nature in the end.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I can go, actually, and it doesn't have to have an impact that it used to. I used to have to slow it right down. Actually, that's not the truth. The truth is, and I have to slow everything down and speak to myself, whereas now I can go, actually, that's not a truth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know, and my whole body is in agreement, and I'm already, it's fantastic, because it would have taken me days of working through something in myself. You know, I'm feeling quite tired having to do it, because for one, I didn't believe the good things I was telling myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So you got to deal with that. You're not going to believe it straight away. You're not going to believe, actually, that's not the truth. You did the best you could. You're a great person. You're amazing. All these beautiful words that you could say to yourself, you know, it's not comfortable.
Do you have to start off with something that's easier, like just not everything's bad in the world, or not everything about me is bad? Like,
well, actually, I think a good phrase is, I did the best I could in the situation. I did what I knew in that situation.
Yeah,
I did it with the information I had, right? And so again, our language towards ourselves, the kind and gentle, which gives us an indicator that, okay, we're not perfect and we get things wrong, and it's okay, you know. Otherwise, some language can still put us in a box of like, well, you were an idiot, you just couldn't do it. you didn't do a good job, that's all, you know, and be really gnarly on ourselves. We're actually, we did a great job. We did the best we could, and maybe it didn't turn out so fabulous, but maybe bits of it did, and maybe it's okay after all, you know, and lighten up on it a bit, because we've got enough people out there. There's so many people out there trying to get it right, Aaron. I get it so wrong all the time. You know, I get my language wrong. I say things backwards. I don't always articulate things well. And sometimes I do, and I amaze myself. You know, and I love it, and it's great. You know, have fun. Don't, you know, we need to take the pressure off a bit. Nobody has all the answers. Believe me, nobody has all the answers, and everyone has something to contribute. We all have something of value. So have fun and have fun with life. And we all take it a little bit too seriously. Put a circuit breaker in there and give yourself some relief and be some kind and gentleness, and you might find that you smile a bit more and that people are kind of nice and you do enjoy their quirkiness and their different ways of thinking, and that it's okay. It doesn't have to offend other people.
That feels like a good place for us to stop.
It does.
Yeah, we've been talking to Marie with our Let's Talk segment here on The Morning Show. And as we said at the start of the show, Marie's got her own show these days, Faith Matters, Midday Friday.
Yep.
And talking about similar things through a different lens, which is interesting. You should listen to Marie talk about the same, because did you talk about this last on your last show?
Yes.
Yeah, because it feels like you had a model for our discussion in your head this time.
I did.
I didn't need to do much, like, to steer the conversation.
No, because I thought about it. I thought, well, I didn't really unpack it that well, and on Friday, and I didn't actually want to, because I did want to bring it into this segment where I could talk it about in a more in the theory and the way it's, you know, okay. what it means and yeah. how we can use it in our own life and maybe take some of the pressure off around everything being too difficult and we have to pay for somebody to tell us how to do this.
Right, okay. All right, Marie, well, thanks for coming in.